Welcome back to the Voice of Business Radio Show. Our third and final guest today is Tom Quinn, a research associate with the Worcester Regional Research Bureau. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you're a former Worcester Magazine journalist, and we both come from that industry, so I think this will be a great conversation. What's your role over at the Research Bureau right now?
So I'm a research associate, and basically what that means is we host educational forums and we do a lot of community outreach, but we also write reports, and that's my role, is to stay up to date on current events and important events, and then research these things and dig into them, and we publish a lot of recommendations for public officials based on that research.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to get to one specific WRTA-related report in a second, but I want to talk about how the sausage gets made first. Is there any particular way in which you decide what you're going to deliberate on in research for months on end, and then is there a specific type of research that you specialize or expertise in?
So we are a lot like journalism in that you have to become an expert on so many different topics at once. Our focus is local public policy. But local government touches on so many things that we've covered: transportation, finance, health, education. We really jump around as to what specific topics we cover within those categories. We try to focus on what's important, just like anyone else, but we tend to have a focus on things that maybe other organizations or the media can't or won't cover with the depth we think they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, you know, we don't publish as often as a media source. We're not as specialized as maybe a health-focused organization or education-focused organization. So we can really take our time with a topic, and we try to look for things that are either undercovered or ideas that haven't been brought to the table, and give them a really deep look.
I'm sure it depends on the subject, but about how long would you say it takes from start to finish for a report?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the subject. We publish shorter briefs, sort of one-page explorations of a subject, and those can take maybe a couple months. For something like the report we're about to talk about on a Fair Free WRTA, that can take up to 6 months. We try to really give things the treatment they deserve and really go as deep as possible.
So if we're going to talk in, you know, embroidered pillow cushions, it's quantity, not quality, right? Or excuse me, the opposite, quality, not quantity.
Yeah, we are definitely quality over quantity.
Awesome. So that latest report issued by the Research Bureau discusses the ramifications of a fare free Worcester Regional Transit Authority. What is the state of the WRTA system now that you've researched it in depth for 6 months? And what are the business implications of going fare free here in Worcester?
Yeah, so there's a lot of metrics that you can look at when evaluating a transit system. What it really comes down to, though, and what a lot of them stem out of, is ridership.
Okay.
We've got fairly low ridership on the WRTA, and it's been declining for a while. So the impetus for going fare-free would be that it would result in a big ridership boost. It's sort of a golden rule in transit research that fares correlate to ridership. If you raise fares, ridership goes down, and if you lower them, ridership goes up, all else being equal, of course. And there's research from cities that have gone fare-free that when you eliminate fares, you see an even bigger boost, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But we looked at other cities that had done this and said, would it work for Worcester, and dug into some of those other metrics. We figured out, should we? And we came to the conclusion we should if we want to boost ridership. The could we part, the business case that you were talking about, is that we only get about 14% of the WRTA's budget, which is about $3 million from fares collected from riders. Some people will say, well, just raise fares and you get a higher percentage from riders. We raised fares in 2017 and saw two straight years of declining fare box revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells us is that maybe getting revenue from riders isn't the way to go. Maybe there's a better option, and we think if we could make it happen, we should go fare free.
I think there's a couple components to that in terms of for anyone who's ridden a bus, either you have the card, you can't find the card, or you go the cash option and you just pull wads out of your pocket and the bus driver just goes, get on the bus.
Yeah.
So there's that multiple challenges here in terms of fare boxes working, people having rate change, people having cards that work, being able to read the cards. In terms of the number of riders that were surveyed, you saw that nearly half were commuting to and from work. So those are people who are, you know, getting on the bus early in the morning, getting on the bus at night to go home. If the WRTA system goes fare-free, how would that aid local businesses that are in the downtown or even spread out throughout Worcester in terms of getting their people to their positions and their desks or whatever they do in a timely manner?
Yeah, so that was a survey that was done by the WRTA, administered by CMRPC, that surveyed riders, and a lot of them are going to work. And a lot of the problem with delays for any bus system, including the WRTA, is going to be boarding. Like you said, it's $1.75, exact change. 25 to 30% of people boarding the WRTA pay with cash. So it would speed things up that way. And even beyond just eliminating the weight you have to do when you put money in the fare box, buses have two doors, but you can only use one of them when you board because you need to board by the fare box. So theoretically, we could open both doors. One thing that's important to note, though, is that this would not just be helpful for people who ride the bus to work. This would be helpful for everybody because what you would do, hopefully, is draw people out of their private vehicles and onto the bus, which means there's less cars on the road, there's less traffic, there's less people in front of you at a red light. If you have to compete for parking with people either at your workplace or if you drive places as part of your job, that would free up spots that way. So it's good not just for people riding the bus, but for the whole city to alleviate the effects of a lot of road traffic.
Oh, I think we can definitely attest to the fact that there's some road traffic happening downtown right now. So that might help do that. And then you said in the report that 16% of WRTA riders use the system to access retail shops. From the chamber's point of view, we're always looking, of course, to welcome new or expanded businesses into town. How do you feel like a fare-free WRTA would increase the number of, one, people shopping in the downtown, let alone, you know, the rest of the city, the neighborhoods, Tatnik Square, places like that, and demonstrate the demand for retail throughout the city? I walk on Main Street and I see a lot of open storefronts that could have, I'd like to see an Apple store, I'll say it. You know, anything that could be from a national chain to a couple more mom-and-pop businesses growing here in Worcester, because we are a great place to do that.
Yeah. No, I mean, mobility is important. Mobility helps with business. Anytime a person stays home because they think going out would be too difficult transportation-wise and they can't work out the logistics or even, you know, that it's cost-wise, people have a budget for transportation, that hurts business, especially when you think about people being dropped off at a bus stop and walking to whatever their actual destination is. That helps with any business that relies on foot traffic because there'll be a lot more people that aren't just driving and parking directly in front of the business and going inside. There was a system that was introduced that was fare-free in Washington State, and the local business community voted it the best new business of the year, business in quotes, because it's not a business, it's a bus system. But yeah, I think it's fairly obvious that if you increase the ability of people to get out and about, you increase how local business does, especially if they rely on foot traffic.
I mean, I used to report in Rhode Island, and people would complain about, you know, having to drive from one side to the other. And, you know, it takes about 25 minutes to a half an hour if there's no traffic. But I feel like it's similar in Worcester where, you know, some my friends will say, oh, let's not go there because it takes so long in traffic to get there. So I think it would also show, you know, more movement within Worcester, let alone outside of Worcester into the city specifically.
Yeah. And if you think about where the WRTA hub is, and right now they've changed this recently, but right now 99% of routes go through the hub right off Shrewsbury Street, right by downtown, steps, literally steps from the new where the new ballpark is going to be. So there's it's definitely, you know, for a dense downtown environment, a bus system's perfect. And we already have that set up here.
Okay. And in the beginning, you mentioned that nearly 85% of the revenue going into the WRTA right now is not at all related to fares. Where is it coming from?
So we get a lot in state aid, we get a lot in federal aid, and we levy assessments on member cities and towns. So Worcester and the surrounding towns that the WRTA serves pay into that. But what's interesting when you look at other cities that have gone fare-free is you can get it just straight from the city in the form of just the city decides this is something they want to include in their budget. They want to boost their contribution to the WRTA. But you can get it from a variety of different sources. You can get it from new revenue. You can get it from a new tax. You can get it from private philanthropy. Large institutions like colleges have funded this, including in Massachusetts, the five colleges area near near UMass Amherst and UMass Dartmouth pays for free bus service on a line or two there. And the business community in some places has decided that this would benefit them enough that they want to pay for it. So any combination of those things could make up the revenue we're looking for here. I think that's a great point.
I think we've got a couple more VOB segments to continue that conversation. But can you just tell me how the Worcester RTA compares to others in the Commonwealth?
Yeah, so we did that, and people are free to read our report. It's on our website, wrb.org. But
it's only 10 pages, guys. It's a really good read.
And again, most of it is graphs and pictures. So we did look at, you know, the cost per passenger for Massachusetts RTAs. We're sort of the middle of the pack. We're doing okay there. Cost per passenger mile, again, middle of the pack. The Worcester RTA is the second largest RTA in the state after the Pioneer Valley Transportation Authority. You know, we're in an urban area. We have a lot of ridership, even though it's been declining. That's the case for all RTAs. So We're one of the big dogs in the state, definitely.
Okay, great. Now we're talking about growth of the WRTA, hopefully getting it a bit more sustainable. The report also says that the system could theoretically withstand ridership doubling in volume without having to add more buses or increase frequencies. So the system exists. We just have to get more people in seats on buses.
Yeah, and I mean, you want to look at routes and whether you want to change routes and add frequency on certain routes when you do something like this, because that's not spread across, that's not spread evenly. But yeah, 45% capacity means, you know, we're not trying to say we have to double the number of buses on the street. We have room right now for more ridership.
Mm-hmm. And circling back to the fare issue, these challenges are sticking out to me. I'm curious. Has the WRTA looked at a card system, or can you only pay in cash right now?
No, you can, like I said before, 25 to 30% pay with cash. The rest pay with passes that they buy. And the WRTA has looked at a cashless system where you would be required to buy a pass because, like we talked about, cash is such a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We also are in favor of a cashless system, just in a different way, just mm-hmm. no passes at all. You get on for free. But yeah, there are multiple ways to solve some of these problems, but what we looked at for fare free is a big thing. We need to do something big because we're not just a minor tweak away from success with the WRTA.
Okay.
This would boost ridership in a big way. It would solve a lot of other operational problems. So there are other little things we could do, but we think that we should be ambitious in this case.
Is one of those tweaks increasing availability, timing, schedules on the weekend? Because right now I understand that there's reduced scheduling on the weekends, and I feel like that's when I would give it a try. That's when I would make sure that I could get from my home to my work, I could get to the store, I could get to the park.
Yeah, I mean, we try to focus pretty narrowly on fare policy because we don't want to sort of overwhelm people with information. But there is a chicken and the egg effect here where people will say, a lot of people have said when we release this too, even though the overall response has been positive, well, no one rides a WRTA. Why would we invest it if no one rides it? So there is the case where, in my opinion, what has to come first is more riders on the WRTA. The reason you see a lot of policies catered toward people who drive cars is because a lot of people drive cars. If we get more people on the WRTA, maybe we can talk about weekend service or extended hours and stuff like that. But I don't know that you're going to be able to convince the state or the federal government to fund that if they look at our system and see that we don't have the ridership that a healthy mix of transportation options in a city would have.
Fundamentals.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Awesome. All right, Tom, what's coming up from the WRRB? What can we expect next from the Research Bureau?
So city budget deliberations are going on right now, and we do an annual breaking down the budget report to explain that. We're working on a walkability scorecard so people can look at their street and see how it relates to other streets.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, we think it'll be a good tool that, you know, hopefully decision makers will use it to decide on street design, but regular people can also look at it and see, is my street pedestrian friendly?
Where can I get a scorecard?
We haven't released it yet. You asked what was coming up, right?
Ah,
so that's coming
up.
Yeah,
okay, that's interesting.
It's a teaser for something in the future.
Perfect. Okay. So we're definitely going to have you back about that scorecard. Tom, thanks so much for joining us on the Voice of Business. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll see you all next week.